Started.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your interventions in our situations. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for blessing us with spiritual blessings and physical blessings. Thank you for crowning us with your honor and glory. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the battles you fought for us and won for us. Thank you for the strength you have put in us to do your will at all times. Thank you, Father. Be thou exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to know you more than we have known you before. Thank you for helping us grow spiritually. Thank you for drawing us closer unto yourself. Thank you for teaching us your ways. Thank you for revealing your truth to us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here in your presence once again to study your scriptures so that we can gain wisdom. I ask that you minister to every heart that are here and will join in Jesus' name. Open our eyes to see the wonders of your word in Jesus' name. Have your way in our hearts. Bless us greatly. Edify us through your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching on persecution. Last week we looked at persecutors' twist words to defame. And today we're going to be looking at lying accusations and false charges. Lying accusations and false charges. Yeah, don't forget that these topics are under are like subtopics. Subtopics to a broad topic. And don't forget the broad topic says persecution usually begins with verbal attacks. So we're going to be looking at how persecutors use lying accusations and false charges against Christians. I repeat, you'll be learning tonight how persecutors use false accusations, lying accusations, and false charges against Christians, against God's people. I believe you know the meaning of lying accusations and false charges. Yeah, this involves some people coming up to testify wrong things about you, things that are not true, that is false accusations. It's more like you've been accused of doing what you never did. Yeah, and in fact, some of these accusers, they can even present false evidences. Yeah, they can present evidence in the court to support their lying accusations. Yeah, just because they want to bring you down, they want to get you imprisoned, or maybe get you into serious trouble. Yeah, and we saw in the scriptures how they did the same thing to Jesus. The religious leaders at that time, they hired false witnesses to witness against Jesus so that they can get the Roman government to arrest him and to prosecute him and crucify him, which they succeeded. So if they did that to Jesus, they definitely will do the same thing to you and I. Yeah. So anyone can just come up with a lie about you and start telling people everywhere that you did something you never did. Yeah. So when that happens, you should not be so surprised, because that is what persecutors do. Yeah. And you should be happy, especially if they are doing that because of your Christian faith. If they are doing that to you because you are a child of God, and because you preach the gospel, and because you identify publicly with Jesus Christ and with the Word of God, definitely you should be happy when men persecute you in this way, because it shows that God is pleased with your life. I have said before that persecution is how to know that you are really following God. It's a way to publicly confirm that you are really following God, that you are really in the truth, that you are really following the ways of Jesus. Yeah. So if you have never been persecuted since the day you gave your life to Jesus, then maybe you haven't really given your life to Jesus. Yeah, so persecution is how we know and confirm publicly that we are really in the right path. Yeah, because the enemy doesn't persecute those that are in the wrong path. The enemy will only persecute those that are in the right path. So whenever we get persecuted, it's confirming that we are living the right kind of life that the Lord wants us to live. Yeah, I believe you get it. And then you should be happy also because there is reward for you in heaven. Yeah, Jesus said, blessed are those that are persecuted. So you are being blessed. Anyone who is being persecuted for the sake of Jesus is blessed. I don't know if you are getting that point. That is, the more you get persecuted for the sake of Jesus, the more you get blessed. There's a blessing that follows persecution. Yeah, and that is why we should not reject persecution. We should not run away from it. We should embrace it. Yeah, because it comes with blessing. Yeah, and we can see how beautiful the Christian life of the early Christians in the Bible were. Yeah, because these people, they get persecuted almost every day. Yeah, and it helped their Christian life to grow. It helped them enjoy their Christian life. It helped them enjoy their walk with God. It kind of draw them more closer to God. So these are people who would be publicly stripped naked and publicly beaten. They would get a lot of injuries because they were preaching Jesus. Yeah. And even while they were getting those beatings, they would still be singing and smiling and rejoicing. Why? Because it's doing something to their spiritual life, their spiritual lives. Though physically they were being humiliated, but spiritually they were getting a blessing that cannot be described with human words. Yeah. So persecution carries a lot of blessings, even blessings that are beyond human description. Yeah, it comes with impartation from heaven. Yeah, and it comes with demonstration of God's power. It also comes with encounters with God, physical encounters with God. There are some divine encounters with God and His angels that you may never have if you have not been seriously persecuted, or if you have not allowed yourself to go through persecutions. Yeah, so then there is great blessings in persecution, and that is why it shouldn't be what will bring you down. I mean, persecution should not be something that will bring you down or break your heart. It should be something that would bring you up spiritually and connect you more with heaven. I don't know if you're getting my point. Some Christians, they would say, I will never go to church again. I will never greet or forgive that pastor, or I will never forgive those brethren in that church for what they did to me. In fact, anything about church ministries, I will never have anything to do with that. And then they start to say, oh, in that church they treated me so badly, I thought they were God's people. They did a lot of harm to me, and my heart is broken. That is the wrong approach to persecution. Yes, you can be persecuted even inside the church. I've said it before. Yeah, because the people who persecuted Jesus and the apostles were religious people. So you may call them church people. Yeah, they were religious people. Yeah, so persecution can come from religious people, from church people. Yeah, now you should not let that kind of persecution bring you down. Yeah, because persecution is not meant to bring us down. They are meant to bring us to lift us up, to make us grow spiritually, to make us draw more closer to the Lord. Yeah, so it is wrong if you start drifting into bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, hatred. Yeah, because of persecution, because some people told lies about you, some people falsely accused him. Yeah, it is very wrong. It shows that you are a baby Christian. Yeah, because persecution should lift you up spiritually. Yeah, you should be happy about it and even pray for your persecutors. Yeah, and then you go to God and say, God, thank you for allowing me to go through all of these false accusations and false charges for your name's sake, because I know I am getting them because of you, because I never did all of those things they said I did. Yeah, and then you thank God also. You say, God, I thank you because you know how to deliver me from the hands of my accusers. And you know how to justify me. You know how to vindicate me from all these false charges. Yeah, so that is how you should react to persecution. Not shedding tears. Not by shedding tears. and then you start to go into depression, and then you start to have high blood pressure. No, that's not how to respond to persecution. I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to respond correctly and positively to every form of persecution you face in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us look at some scriptures here before we round off the session. We actually have many scriptures to look at. The first one is Psalm 35, verse 11. Psalm 35, verse 11. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. You can see false witnesses. They have been since the ancient times. And they are still here today. And I remember saying last week that don't believe whatever anyone says to you about someone else. Yeah, make sure you confirm the truth before you believe any information someone gives to you about somebody. Yeah. So you can confirm the truth with that person that someone talks to you about. Or you can confirm the truth with the Holy Spirit. Don't just conclude about someone until you have known the truth. Yeah, let us also look at Jeremiah 38, verse 4. Jeremiah 38, verse 4. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Yeah, this was what what they said against Jeremiah. And see what the king said in verse 5. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Yeah, so even the king handed Jeremiah over to them. Yeah, so we will always have people that tell lies about us so as to bring us down. So as to hurt us. I pray for you that whenever such thing happen to you, you'll be wise to respond correctly in Jesus' name. Let us also look at Matthew 26, verse 59 to 61. Matthew 26, verse 59 to 61. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. They were looking for something criminating, that they could use to get Jesus arrested by the Roman government and killed. Not just arrested, they actually want him to be killed. But they couldn't find anything against him. Though according to the Old Testament laws, they already have many things against Jesus. Number one, he always break the Sabbath. Though he never broke Sabbath, but they felt what he does on Sabbath days means breaking of Sabbath or violating Sabbath laws. So they felt working miracles or healing people on the Sabbath day is a crime or is against Sabbath laws. Yeah, because the Sabbath law says no one should walk. So they felt the healing miracles means Jesus was walking on Sabbath days. Yeah, they don't know that it is God walking. Not man doing those works. They don't know it is God. And then they also have other things against Jesus. Things like blasphemy. They said he was referring to himself as the Son of God, as equal with God. Yeah, so they call that blasphemy. Yeah, because they felt like Jesus can never be God. Yeah, and in fact, the kind of Messiah they were expecting, they weren't expecting a Messiah that would look like a human being, and that would even be born by humans. I don't know the kind of Messiah they were expecting anyway. But they weren't expecting someone that they will be able to know the father and the mother. Yeah, because they believe the father of Jesus was Joseph, and his mother Mary. So they feel like, how can you call yourself God? How can you say you are one with God? You are the Son of God, and that you came down from heaven, when we know your father and we know your mother, we even know your siblings. Yeah. So, my point is, they already have many charges against Jesus in their Old Testament laws. But they needed some strong accusations that they can use to get him killed by the Roman government. And I think I don't know if it's on this platform I sent it, or on another platform. I said in those days, before anyone can be, how should I put it? The Roman government, as at that time, they monitor the event that happens among the Israelites. In fact, there are always soldiers moving across the streets. So they monitor the events and they try to prevent crimes, especially murder, people being murdered. And you know that many of the Old Testament laws has a lot to do with murder, especially when you violate some of those laws. According to the Old Testament penalty, some of those laws, if you break some of those laws, you should be put to death. Which the Roman government was not in support. So the Roman government want to be the one to determine who should be put to death and who should not be put to death. So in those days, there were many people really violating some of the Old Testament laws that ran to the Roman government for protection, because the priests and the religious leaders were going to put them to death. So in those days, there were many of the Israelites that switched their citizenship to Roman citizenship. Separate themselves from the Israelite citizenship and join with Roman citizenship. Because they want to be able to live their lives the way they want, and they don't want to live in fear of being put to death by the religious leaders. So even though at that time the religious leaders, they still secretly put people to death for breaking the laws of Moses. But they are not able to really do it publicly without giving a very good reason to the Roman government. I hope you understand the situation like that, because when you are reading the Bible, you should read the Bible with an understanding of the historical background of that passage you are reading. You have an understanding of what was going on in Israel at that time. It will help you to understand what wherever you are reading very well. So these religious leaders, they already had many, many charges against Jesus according to the Old Testament laws, but they needed some strong accusations that they can present to the Roman government and be able to tell them that this person deserved to be crucified. So they couldn't just do the killing because they couldn't do the killing themselves. They couldn't just kill Jesus by themselves. Yeah, because it could cause a very serious trouble if the Roman government found out. Yeah, because the Roman government have also been interested in Jesus. Yeah, some of the soldiers, they know Jesus and they have been following his ministry. Yeah. So I hope you understand the background story. So now they looked for witnesses. I mean false witnesses, but they couldn't really get what the kind of accusation they needed. Yeah. So that was what was going on in that passage. Yeah, and then one of the false witnesses said in verse 61, Matthew 26, verse 61, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Yeah, and this person did not understand that Jesus wasn't talking about a physical temple. Yeah, this person didn't understand that Jesus was talking about his body. Yeah, Jesus was talking about his body, that he's able to allow his body to be destroyed. And that after 3 days, he will resurrect from the dead. So they didn't know he was talking about his death. They thought he was talking about destroying a physical, destroying the building of the temple, they thought he was talking about that. They didn't know he was referring to his physical body. Yeah. Let us look at other verses. Luke chapter 23, verse 2. Luke 23. Verse 2, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. You can see these are people that have been paid by the religious leaders to accuse Jesus falsely. If you read from verse 1, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. Yeah, so these people have been paid. To accuse Jesus. I want you to know that there will always be a path of righteousness. There will always be haters of the truth. Or maybe I should say there will always be enemies of the truth. Because I began to ask myself, where did those multitudes came from? Were they the same multitudes that were following Jesus, that saw him perform all the good works, all the miracles? Or were they some kind of different multitudes from somewhere else Yeah, because I don't know how someone who have been doing good in the land should get so large number of enemies. I don't know if I'm getting my point. Considering the good things Jesus had been doing in the land, yeah. And because through his preaching, crimes, the crime rate went down. A lot of changes happened in the land. Yeah, people start to have interest in knowing God, in loving God, and in coming closer to God. So the ministry of Jesus really did many good things, including signs and wonders, miracles. Yeah. And multitudes loved him. Yeah. Then I began to ask myself where this other kind of multitude mentioned in Luke 23 verse 1, I began to ask where they came from. Yeah, this other multitude that rose up against Jesus and even followed him to Pilate, the governor. I began to ask myself where they came from. So that confirms that no matter how much good work you have done, I mean good works you have done, there will always be people that hate those works, even though the works are good. There will always be people that hate good works. Yeah. So we should prepare our minds for such people. There will always be people who will hate the truth you believe and the truth you practice and the truth you stand for. There will always be people. There will always be people. So prepare your mind to meet such people. Let us also, yeah, and by the way, what they were saying about Jesus was complete lie, because Jesus never did such thing. I mean, what they said in verse 2. Yeah, that he was perverting the nation. Jesus never did that. Forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. Jesus never did that. And then Jesus never made himself a king. In fact, at a point they wanted to make him king, he ran away. Yeah, because he knows he's not that type of king he has come to become. Yeah, he knows who he is, that he is the King of Kings, and his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is different from the kingdom of this world. Yeah, so all these things they said about Jesus was complete lie. Let us look at other verses. The same Luke 23 verse 5. Or maybe I should read from verse 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he steereth up the people teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. You can see. Yeah, they were kind of saying he's causing trouble everywhere. And that is what they meant by stirring up the people. Yeah, that is, he's causing trouble, and the Roman government doesn't want anyone that will be causing trouble or anyone that would do something against the public peace. Yeah, so they kept on looking for something to accuse him. Yeah, they kept on looking for something. Let us continue. Acts 6:11-13. Acts of the Apostles 6:11-13. Then the suborned men, we said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Yeah, verse 14, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Yeah, so this was the trial of Stephen, one of the early Christians. Yeah, so you can see all those big lies they were saying about that man of God. Yeah, just because they want the council to sentence him to death. Yeah, in those days there's a council they call the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, I think it comprises of 71 elders. Yeah. So this council, they determine what should happen to anyone found breaking the law, and they also oversee the affairs of the synagogues and the priesthood system. So they kind of make sure that the Old Testament traditions and laws and customs continue to prosper in the land. Yeah. These same people would have also executed Jesus. But as I said earlier, they were afraid of what could happen if they do that. Why? Because Jesus also have a lot of people on his side. Yeah. Jesus had a lot of people who believed in him, even people in the government that believed in him. Yeah. He had a lot of people on his side, so they would not want to execute him the way they executed Stephen in this place. And that was why they even went to employ Roman soldiers to come and arrest Jesus. I'm just trying to make you understand biblical events very well, so that when you stand in the midst of people to defend the Bible, you will not be ashamed. Yeah, you'll be sure of what you are saying. Yeah, so the execution of Stephen here is different from the way Jesus was executed. Yeah, and now you know the difference. Yeah. And then I want you to know that there will always be people that will choose our side. Even though there are a lot of enemies in the world, I mean a lot of enemies of the gospel, and a lot of enemies of righteousness in the world, you should know that there will also be people who will stand by you, people who will follow you, people who will join you as you follow Jesus. And you may be surprised that some of these people may be unbelievers. They may not even be church people. And there will be so much attached to you, and they will defend you anyway because you are following Jesus. Yeah, because God always have people that love the light. Everyone cannot love darkness. There will still be people that will love the light, and a lot of people like that are out there. In fact, millions of people like that are out there. Some of them are even unbelievers. Yeah, so don't think that when you are being persecuted, you are alone. God is with you, and there are people also that are on your side. You may not see them now, but you will still see them. Yeah, even Jesus Christ said, if they listen to me, they will also listen to you. And if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So Jesus was telling them that if I was able to make friends, you will also make friends from the people of the world. And if I also had, because I had enemies, you also will have enemies. Yeah. So always know that there are people out there who still love the light. And of course, there are those who will always hate the light. Yeah, I pray that when devils stir up people against you, God will also stir up people that will stand with you and stand to defend you and fight for you in Jesus' name. So let us continue. Let us look at Acts of the Apostles 16, verse 19 to 21. Acts 16, 19 to 21. And when our masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. You can see how they lied against Paul and Silas. Yeah, because the young girl that was doing divination was stripped of that spirit of divination. Yeah, because Paul commanded that spirit of divination to come out of that young girl. And because the masters who have been using the girl to make a lot of money, because the girl can see anything that is true. Yeah, through the evil spirit. That is, the girl can look at you and tell you things that only you know. That's what the spirit of divination does. Yeah, whoever operates with that spirit can look at you and tell you things that only you could have known that. Yeah. For instance, only you could have known the password on your phone or the password on your banking platform. And then only you could have known your favorite meal. Only you could have known, I mean, personal things and secret things about yourself will be picked up by spirit of divination. And people get excited when they see someone who could tell them things only them could have known. So the masters of that girl, because the girl was a slave, the masters of that girl, they have been using her to get a lot of money from people, because she will be able to tell people secret things about their lives and maybe about people around them. Yeah, so, but unfortunately for them, Paul and Silas were passing by and they saw this girl and they felt this girl should not be doing what she was doing. They felt it is wrong for this girl to be operating by spirit of divination. So they cast out that devil, and then problem came. The people arrested them, took them to the Roman government officials. Yeah, and you know the rest of the story. If you don't know, you can take time to read. You can take time to read the remaining verses after this verse 21 in this passage, Acts chapter 16. Yeah, so another thing we can learn from this story is that at any point in time, your lifestyle or your ministry affects the source of income of sinners. They will persecute you. Yeah, because that young girl was the source of income of those masters. Yeah, and because Paul and Silas interfered with their sources of income, they got into trouble. So let's say, for instance, you went into a street to preach the gospel, and then you succeeded in converting the souls of the people from alcoholism. Yeah, you succeeded in telling the people to stop taking alcohol. yeah, you at that point, you have become an enemy to the people doing alcohol business in that place. And not only that, let's say you are a Christian who have this the gift of healing people. You can pray for people and then they can get healed instantly. And then you enter into a place where maybe you enter into a place that has a lot of hospitals with sick people there. I mean, a place where people go to get treatment. And then you began to pray for all the sick people there and then they began to get healed instantly. That to the point that even the people who admitted got healed and they left the hospital. Definitely from that point, you have become an enemy to the doctors and to the owners of those hospitals and to those whose sources of income is to care for the sick and to treat the sick. Yeah. So this is how doing the work of God can create enemies. Yeah, for us. Whenever we do things that interfere with the sources of income of people, there's going to be a problem. Yeah. So, but you should not be afraid. You should just fearlessly do whatever God has called you to do. Yeah. Another example is you enter into a place full of idol worshipping and then you preached the gospel there and you succeeded in converting the souls of the people from idol worshipping such that many of them stopped going to the temples of their idols to worship the demons. At that moment, you should know that you have become an enemy to the priests and priestesses and the spiritual leaders in the temples of those gods and goddesses. Yeah, so because those people get their that is their work, that is their sources of income. So, and if people stop coming to them, they stop making money. Yeah. So, but you might be thinking, should we pity them? Of course not. Yeah, because what they are doing is sinful. They can do other jobs. There are other jobs they can do and make money. Yeah, but anyone that is doing a job that is sinful, a job that is leading other people to sin, that person should lose that job. In fact, I would pray that the person lose the job. Yeah, because it is evil to be involved in something that is causing people to sin. Yeah. So if you are doing an hotel business, and in that hotel, people have been seduced, or let me say, the hotel environment is in such a way that all kinds of sexual immoralities are allowed to happen. Because you can also do hotel business and it will be very regulated and decent. But there are some hotel business or guest house business that give room for all kinds of sexual immoralities and alcoholism and substance abuse and a lot of addictions to happen. Yeah. So a Christian should never be involved in such things, no matter how much they promise to pay you. So any job that causes people to sin is wrong. We should not pity people in those kind of occupation. That is, we should not pity them if God decided to take them out of those jobs, or to take the jobs from them. Yeah, that's just by the way. So I've established that once we begin to preach the gospel in such a way that it is affecting the sources of income of sinners, they will attack us. Yeah, because they don't want to lose money. Let us also look at Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 5 to 7. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the bizarre sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." You can see how out of envy those Jews persecuted the missionaries sent into that land. Yeah, they even told lies that these people have been doing contrary to the decrees of Caesar, which wasn't true. Yeah. They just wanted bad things to happen to God's people. And most times they want to turn the government against Christians. Yeah, that is what these persecutors do many times. Yeah, they want to make you an enemy of the government, or a criminal. Yeah, so that the government can enforce their laws on you. Yeah, so we should take note of that. Let us also look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, verse 12 to 13. I believe you can see from all these scriptures we have been looking at so far how persecutors use false accusations, lying accusations, and false charges to persecute God's people. And all these things is to help you to be strong whenever such thing or similar thing happen to you as well. That is why we have been going through all these scriptures, so that you will know that this is a normal thing to Christians. This is the normal thing to the Christian faith. This is the normal thing to the Christian life. Yeah. And whenever you experience such, you know how to respond. Yeah, I've already taught you that. So let us look at that. Acts 18, verse 12 to 13. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." Yeah. And that was a lie. Yeah, because Paul was not doing that. Yeah, Paul was not turning the people against the law of the land, or against the government laws. Yeah, but these people were saying that was what Paul and his fellow missionaries were doing. Yeah, because they just want them to be persecuted and to be arrested and maybe killed, yeah, or imprisoned. I pray for you that irrespective of whatever the enemy do to stop you from doing the will of God, you will not surrender to the pressure of the enemy in Jesus' name. When the enemy comes to shut up your mouth from preaching the gospel, I pray for you that you will not shut up your mouth. You will continue to preach the gospel in Jesus' name. We are going to look at Acts 24, verse 5. Acts of the Apostles 24. Verse 5. "For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." Yeah. So you can see how they were lying against Paul in this place. Yeah, so let us look at another verse, which is the last one we are going to look at. And then we'll round off the teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Hallelujah. This was Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. Yeah, and he was telling Timothy how he had been treated as an evildoer. And I mean, in many places he went to preach the gospel, they would treat him as an evildoer. And they would even arrest him and put chains on his hands and feet. Yeah. But he said, the word of God and not be bound. Yeah. I know there are Christians who get emotionally down and heartbroken when they are being treated as an evildoer, because they will feel like, I did nothing wrong. Why are others doing, or why are others treating me like an evildoer? Yeah, why are they lying about me? Why are they accusing me of things I never did? Yeah, and then they start to cry and weep. Yeah. Maybe you are like that. But I believe you will not continue to be like that after this teaching. Yeah, because you have seen from the scriptures that is your inheritance in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, everyone that must live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. So it is our inheritance to suffer all these things. It is part of our salvation. So I used to wonder why people get so emotionally down when these things happen to them. I feel like, don't they know that it is part of their inheritance in Christ? Don't they know it is part of their salvation? That they must, the Bible did not say, might suffer persecution. Yeah, Bible say shall suffer persecution, must suffer persecution. Yeah. So it's not something that should bring you down. It's something that you should be excited about. I said it earlier that it shows that you are in right standing with God when people do those things to you, when they lie against you, when they persecute you, because you are a child of God, and because you are doing good, and because you are doing the will of God. Yeah, it should give you excitement, because it's confirming that you are in the right standing with God. You are right standing with God. Yeah, and as I said earlier, it means you are also going to get special blessings from God, because there is blessings that follows persecution. Yeah, so it shouldn't be something that brings you down. I hope you will learn wisdom. And stop feeling emotionally down whenever you have been treated as an evildoer, when you never did anything wrong. In Jesus' name. Yeah, your focus should be living a life that is pleasing to God. Yeah, that is what your focus will be. Yeah, so once you have established that, you shouldn't be moved by what anybody do against you, or what anybody say, or what anybody thinks about you. What is more important is what God thinks about you. I hope you will stop making those mistakes. We're going to stop here. Okay, there's no question. Yeah, so, but if you happen to have question, you can ask on the group. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have shown us from your word today. Thank you for showing us how we should respond to lying accusations and false charges that will come from persecutors. Thank you for showing us that we should not allow these things to bring us down. We should not allow these things to push us to the negative side, to the dark side. But we should rejoice whenever we are being persecuted in this way, and we should pray for our accusers and persecutors. Thank you, Lord, for showing us all these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask that you help everyone here to never stop doing good and to never stop preaching the gospel and to never stop living the right Christian lifestyle, even in the face of serious persecutions, in Jesus' name. I pray for you that no one will be able to shut up your mouth from witnessing Jesus and from speaking boldly about your faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.